who's going to speak for us now.
Thank you. I am Steve. I am an addict.
Hi, Steve.
And I have mixed emotions here, but I kind of followed through with things. I was introduced to NA in late 63, and I was first guy I met was Gene Haig, and he didn't even take me. He visited me in a hospital. My doctor had a Dr. Lewis I Quit, and he became NA's non-addict trustees, and I had known him for a couple of years, and he wouldn't, he hadn't told me about NA. I think he knew that I wasn't ready, I was still running, but he treated me, you know, like psychology, and I lasted that for a week or two, and then I'd see him a couple of years later. In any case, he introduced me to Gene, and then Gene handed me off to Dick Herbst, and he took me to my first meeting in North Hollywood, and I didn't hear a thing there. I didn't know anybody there. They didn't look like the kind of people I hung with, and there wasn't a Mexican among them, and that's who I hung with, and I didn't get it there. Sylvia was there, but I thought she was Hawaiian or something. She was bigger than life. And after the meeting was over, two guys came up to me and they said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "You don't belong here." And I didn't say a word. I was halfway between real rage and fear, and I didn't know what to say, so I didn't say anything. And they went on, and then the guy lifted up my coat and saw a watch on my hand. He said, "You still have a watch, man. You don't belong here." And that the resentment that I had for them immediately, and that was, I'll break their anonymity. That was Phil and Paul. Paul Stewart. Not this Paul Stewart. Every time I see this Paul Stewart, I call him an asshole. Anyhow, I got a resentment on that. Well, I guess apparently they were left over from Synanon or something with that confrontational shit, and I wasn't into it. I lasted for that resentment. It actually kept me around for a couple of months. But then I went out there and did the rest of what I needed to do, I guess, and I showed up in May 11, 66, and been clean all those days, everything in between, and I'm grateful for the people I bumped into at that meeting, and that was half of the Magdaleno family, Hank, George, and Rick. I attribute my recovery to what those guys gave me and forced on me and whatnot. And those meetings sucked. there was more laughter just right then than there was in a whole goddamn meeting. I took my wife to one of those meetings one time because they had Narnon, Bob's wife, Alma, I think he was still in jail, and she was there, and she'd talk about her addict. My wife never went back. She says, "These people suck. They just suck, man. They just, you know, they're downers." And I tended to agree, but I kept going. I kept going because I was told to keep going. And my sponsor didn't make suggestions to me. He told me what to do. And I had, after that first meeting on, it was actually Mother's Day, May 11th, I drove home and I kind of broke down behind the wheel. I was on a Pasadena freeway and thinking, Jesus, what do I got to do? And I picked up that little pamphlet we had, or literature, and I read those first three steps and decided that I would follow those to the best of my ability, and I would I would do anything those people told me to do. Those people,
you guys,
you guys. And actually, after a couple of months of that, I decided that I needed to clean that up a little bit, and because I wasn't into unsolicited direction. On the other hand, if I ask you something, what I need to do with this or that, I was having a problem, and if you took the time to answer that question, then I would follow it. I was bound to, because I said originally that I would do anything I was told to do. And that's kind of the beginning of the foundation of my recovery. A strong sponsor, and he got me into service. And everybody was in service, just about. I don't remember him, but because we had, our service was a meeting every, once a month on Fridays. And they gave me the job of picking up the mail at Post Office Box 622, Sun Valley, California. And man, that was a privilege, and I got into that. And so that was my job. And it was before the regular meeting, so it's like everybody went, because usually about 75% of the fellowship, which was probably, I don't know, was it 30 people and 66, something like that, you were at that meeting. You were involved in service, and it wasn't a big deal, believe me, but it was then, because I didn't know Jack, and none of the rest of us did either, so. And that was a beginning. That was a beginning for me. And about a year and a half after that, I was in a motorcycle accident and broke my leg, and realized that I lost my job and house. And I realized I could be clean anywhere as long as there's fellowship. So, and I could be poor in other locations in Los Angeles a lot easier than I could be in Los Angeles. So, anyway, I went north to Sonoma County, and there wasn't any meetings there, but there were two meetings, one in Berkeley and one in San Francisco, that I was able to get to Friday nights, almost every Friday, because I could ride the bus. And Berkeley, I'd go to maybe every third meeting, because you had to drive to that one. But and it was there because Sylvia and Richard and Russell and Penny, and then there were newcomers there, and got to know a lot of people that way. Anyhow, I was going to AA meetings locally so I could get to a meeting as often as possible, and Actually, the first meeting I went to, any newcomers here? And I said, yeah, Steve, I'm an addict and an alcoholic. That's what was said those days. And I heard somebody say, did he say that? Yeah. So they weren't used to it. They weren't used to it, and they didn't like it. Except there were a few people there that came to me immediately and invited me to another meeting and whatnot. I was going to a stag meeting in Cotati, and three guys there asked if they could help me start a meeting. I think there's a lot of eyes in those days. It's like a lot of things I did by myself, and I like to say, well, I started that meeting, but it wouldn't have happened without those guys. So I need you, you need me, we need each other. They helped me start that meeting. They didn't stick with it very long. One of them was a priest, and he did. And we moved to the church in Sebastopol and was there for several years. And then it got so crazy with all of the... I won't even talk about that story. What is it? Turning Point, before that it was Chrysalis, and one of these guys knows something about those recovery places. I don't know what all the names were, but they were foul-mouthed and they were from Haight-Ashbury, and they were crazy, and they kept talking about pots and pans and who did what at the house and whatnot. I felt like an outsider at my meeting. Well, it got to a point where there was a big battle between AA and NA there, and I said, I was working in San Jose and commuting every day, which is about 100 miles, and I said, screw it. And I dropped out for a couple of years. I didn't go to either one of them. I did have close contact with my accountant who was in AA, and we talked weekly. We talked 2-3 times a week, regularly. And he made suggestions here and there, and finally I took them. But I'm going to back up. And one of the things before that dropout happened, I was clean about 7-8 years. But in that time, things happened to me there that was weird. I got a phone call from a woman who had the answering service for AA. And she says, can I direct some people to you that I think might be appropriate for NA? And I said, yeah. So all of a sudden, I had an answering service and got some strange calls. Some schools got into contact and wanted to speak at the school. I don't know how they found me. So I went to odd little places like out on the river and in town and spoke to... Unfortunately, it wasn't to the budding addicts. It was to the parents. They were scared to death because, you know, drugs was exploding in that county, and it was a farm country, and they didn't know what to do with it. In 20, 30, 40 years later, I see that happened all over the place. I didn't think about that, you know, at the time. I felt like the Lone Ranger. But everywhere we started, I'm sure it was similar. But we didn't have any committees, but I had a answering service. I had a public relations thing going on. Then I was asked to speak at a juvenile hall place in the county there. It was a girls' juvenile hall. I'm not sure how it was. I was younger then, and some of the girls kind of looked okay, but I was good with it. I knew I was being watched. But yeah, I didn't have an H&I, but there I was going doing H&I stuff, and it was even on TV one time. It's blacked out and all, but we're discussing a woman, Ann, who moved off to Texas. She went with me, and we spoke about Narcotics Anonymous, and so we and I did a lot of different things, and it was good for my growth, because I got to actually do things, not just hanging out at meetings. Now, with all the structure and everything, actually, it pisses me off at times with all the guidelines they got. You know, you can't do this and you can't do that, and you got to run it by 8 other people. I was kind of used to doing my own thing at my own pace, and but that's the way it was. And as I said, when I dropped it and I came back. I came back and kind of with a vengeance. And I decided I wasn't going to go to AA because it was part of my history as using. I was 3 different people. I was work people, I was family people, and I was drug people. And I was always on edge trying to figure out who I was when I was where I was. And so I N.A., and they were having intergroup. We had intergroup by that time. There were meetings in Berkeley, San Francisco, San Jose, and Sonoma County, Santa Rosa. And they moved that intergroup around so that it was easier for people to get there. And first one I went to, they were having elections, and they needed a secretary. And I became a secretary, and I knew with that job that I was committed, and I wouldn't screw that up. So I got back in all 4, and I stayed in that service for into the 90s with. We formed our with the help of some guidelines. Some of those famous guidelines, the tree. We formed our areas and a region, and then a conference. Went to the first conference meetings in a living room in San Luis Obispo, and then finally into. Moved to, well, conventions, and that didn't work out too well because everybody's having too good a time. And then finally in the bungalow and Valley College in San Fernando Valley, Van Nuys, and then from there to Santa Monica and finally back to the Valley. And it just got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and conventions got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and it just exploded. And somebody was telling me about a convention they went to in Nebraska, and there was 100 people there. Well, the first convention we had in Santa Rosa, there was about 100 people there, and they're great. And I went to one in Anchorage, Alaska, that had not quite 100, and you get to know everybody. It's great. Today, it's like you get caught up with your friends and don't reach out to people you don't know so that you can get to know them. Anyway, I'm rambling on now. So It's been real, and it's been, I don't think I have to say I'm grateful, man, because I hope that just being here kind of proves that. I love y'all, don't like y'all, but I love y'all. And I appreciate what, you know, Everyday Clean is something to be looked up to, so. And I probably forgot everything I wanted to say, but I filled it in. Thank you.